Hi, it's Garen with Shamrock Roofing and Construction. Need a new roof fast? Consider Shamrock Roofing and Construction. Our rapid repair team will get you a quote within 24 hours and will always repair before we replace. One call does it all. ShamrockRoofer.com.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Victory Monday, an AFC Championship Game Victory Monday, January 30th, 2023. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Marco Marquez, and now Adam Teicher from ESPN. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Hey, good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Thinking you guys are probably as sleep deprived as I am right now.
But that's all right. You know yep. What? Sometimes there are things more important than sleep.
As Bill Parcells famously said one time, this is why we lift all them weights.
That's
so
right.
This is why we do it. So this is a fun game last night, no doubt.
It was a fun game, but it was a nerve-wracking nail-biter that went right down to the wire. And so I had good conversations with Sky Moore and Harrison Butker after the game. And really, you know, at certain points in the season, and I was one of them, I did not want to see Sky Moore return any more punts. And we were all wondering what was wrong with Harrison Butker. What was wrong with is it the holds? What the hell's going on? And I didn't know how much we'd be able to trust the field goal kicking in the playoffs. Well, of course, championship game, Sky Moore with a 29-yard punt return, and then Harrison Butker kicks the Chiefs into the Super Bowl. What about those two stories of redemption?
Yeah, it was remarkable, particularly Sky Moore. You know, we all given up and left him for dead, basically, as a punt returner, and here he was making a huge play. And then, Butker we knew had that in him, but could he get it back, you know? Could he be that clutch guy, you know, that the Chiefs, have counted on for a few years now? And so, you know, that one was just more, could he do it, you know? But we knew he had it in him. And, we've been critical of Dave Taube here, and he deserved it, you know. The Chiefs were really kind of stubborn on the Sky Moore thing early in the year, and it cost him a game. And, even the Butker stuff later on. But, he stuck with it, and he saw something. And, matter of fact, I saw Taube after the game, and I just kind of told him, just kind of jokingly, hey, he said something like, hey, how about Sky Moore?
Oh, yeah.
I said, you should have told us you thought he was going to be pretty good, you know, and he got a pretty good kick out of that one. So, but obviously he feels, vindicated a little bit, and he should, because, play was one of the plays that put the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. I actually got that on video. I was standing right next to you in the tunnel when they were walking in, and Dave Taube walks over and looks at you and goes, how about that Sky Moore? That's a moment for him too, right? He feels vindicated.
No, absolutely. He should. And that's what I mean. He's the one who kind of stuck his neck out for Sky Moore, and it wasn't working, and it cost the Chiefs one game, could have cost him other games later on in the year, but he stuck with him, and I thought about it. The Chiefs didn't have a whole lot of choice there, you know.
Yeah.
To who was going to return punts? You know, Hardman was out, and Tony was out, and Justin Watson wasn't even dressed, and So, you know, you got Trent McDuffie who hasn't done it at all. Do you want that in the AFC Championship game? So, he really had no choice. It was down to Sky Moore, but this time he made it pay off.
And you know, I would go back to the conversations we had, Adam, all season long about what we needed, what the Chiefs needed, I should say, out of the punt returner. We all said, just get a guy back there that can catch it, right? Like, that was the thing we kind of laughed about, because Tobe said, well, Watson will catch it, but he won't do anything with it. And our attitude was, well, you got Patrick Mahomes. You don't need a punt return. Just make sure Patrick Mahomes gets the ball. I wasn't sitting there thinking about, well, what about when Patrick Mahomes is a shell of himself because he's got a high ankle sprain and his entire wide receiver core is injured and there's no time left in the game to pull out a miraculous drive? You might need a punt returner in that situation to break off a big return. And so, like, for Tobe, I think maybe a little justification or vindication for him too, which is, yeah, maybe having a great punt returner is not the most important thing when you're the Chiefs and you have Patrick Mahomes, but there still could be a moment in time where it comes in really handy. And boy, did he get to display that yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I was on that train, that the train of thought that you shouldn't have to give up trying for a big play on a punt return. You know, that I never felt that way. It's okay to try for a big return, but not at a cost of fumbling and costing you a game. And that's where I was with Sky Moore at the time. I mean, I was definitely in the camp that the Chiefs should sit him down just because he's learning on the job. And if you think you're a Super Bowl team, you don't have guys learning on the job. That's just not how it works. And so that's the part I had a problem with, was the Sky Moore thing and the fact that Chiefs just looked like they were being stubborn. Not that they were looking for big returns. You know, I think that's always a good idea. Again, never at the expense of ball security, but still I feel like that's something they ought to look for.
And I saw somebody posted the stat out there that Chris Jones was doubled on 31 out of 38 snaps and still came up with two sacks and many pressures and four tackles. All eyes were on him to have a big game and get his first playoff sack and help lead this defense. What do you say about his performance?
Yeah. Every time I watched him during the game, he was getting two guys on him. So, I think that number you saw is pretty accurate. You know, he was fantastic, and the Chiefs had to have it, and Frank Clark as well. They had to have that last night. You know, I thought the Bengals were going to win the game last night, and here's why. I just didn't trust the Chiefs defensively to get things done. They hadn't done it against the Bengals in the last three meetings. They hadn't been doing it, certainly not consistently this year. But I thought the path to a Chiefs win was to get multiple sacks, get a couple turnovers, and be good in the red zone on defense. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty big ask against a good opponent. But I thought if the Chiefs could do that stuff, they would prevent the Bengals from making enough plays to win the game. And that's exactly how it played out. They got, five sacks and the two turnovers, each by a rookie corner. And, the Bengals were 1-for-3 getting touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, that's pretty good stuff from the Chiefs on defense. And that's why they're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I was pretty comfortable the Chiefs would be okay as long as Mahomes played at quarterback, but even given his ankle situation. But the way they played defensively last night was fantastic. And that's the part of the ball that should take a bow right now, because they kind of went above and beyond what they do against a good opponent to help the Chiefs get to Phoenix.
You know, Mahomes, clearly there were situations where the ankle bothered him and he couldn't do everything that he normally does. But without an effective running game, where the Chiefs only averaged 2.1 yards per carry, and with multiple weapons going down to injury, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, Watson was inactive, he still goes 29 of 43 for 326, two touchdowns, no picks. had the crazy turnover where he dropped the football, which I still don't understand what happened. But, I mean, he outplayed Burrow on one leg throwing those weapons, or lack of weapons. Marcus Kemp was out there in the fourth quarter. So then what do you say about Mahomes and the effort that he gave?
No, it was fantastic. And, you know, that's you know, they got more than they probably had a right to expect from a guy with a high ankle sprain. You know, he was very effective for them, and they certainly don't win the game without him. And, you know, it was funny just talking to some of the players after the game that, you know, the one play that they really admired over all of it was that last scramble on the last offensive play where he was, you know, kind of looking like he was moving in slow motion a little bit, but still was able to get 5 yards. And then, of course, the penalty that added on to that, and the Chiefs were able to get the field goal. But, you know, everybody was just talking about what a gutsy game he played, and that's true. I mean, no argument here for sure.
So, Adam, you talk about how the defense deserves so much of the credit in this game, and you also talk about the heroics of Patrick Mahomes even on a bad ankle. And the people I was watching the game with, when the Chiefs got down to that 4th and 8 at the Cincinnati 37-yard line, 2:36 to play in the game, do you punt the ball there and give it back to Joe Burrow, who's ripped your heart out a few times already, with a completely rookie-dominated secondary to try to stop him? Or do you let Patrick Mahomes try to pull off another Patrick Mahomes-type play on 4th and 8? What did you think of Andy Reid's decision to trust his defense against Joe Burrow in that situation?
Yeah, well, I think the way they were playing last night, you had reason to believe that with good field position, or, you know, lousy field position for the Bengals, that was going to turn out okay. So not on 4th and 8. I'm always all for the punt there. I think that was a great move, and it proved out that it was. But, you know, the building was loud last night, and they were having trouble a little bit, and you know, the way the Chiefs were rushing the quarterback was spectacular. So I don't really have a problem with the Chiefs punting there, because if you don't get it, you give them the ball at the, you know, 35-40 yard line, and you're, you know, they're so close to field goal range, and you know, it was almost felt like it had to be a do or die play on 4th and 8 there, and you don't really, the situation didn't call for that. So, you know, I agree with the Chiefs on that one. I would have punted there as well.
Field Yates had this tweet a little bit earlier, and we read this, and it's just remarkable to look at this. The Chiefs draft class, McDuffie had 6 tackles and 2 passes defensed. Karlaftis had a sack. Sky Moore, 3 catches and that big punt return. Brian Cook, 4 tackles. And had that, you know, he caused that interception, that second interception when he's got his hands, and he had he's got his hand on the football. Joshua Williams, interception. Jalen Watson, interception. Isaiah Pacheco, 85 total yards. Rounds 1 through 7, all having a huge impact in that game. That's crazy, Adam.
No, it is. It is. And, you know, what it did was all of that. It's indicated Brett Veach and Andy Reid for the Tyreek Hill trade, because this is what they had in mind when they traded Tyreek Hill. They said, okay, we're giving up a great player, but we're going to get a bunch of good players back in return, young players who aren't making much money, and we're going to make this work. And they did. They have. You know, the Chiefs were... they wouldn't have Trent McDuffie without that Tyreek trade. They would not have – I thought McDuffie was spectacular last night. They would not have Sky Moore without the Tyreek Hill trade. So, you know, they got 2 more draft picks coming up from that deal this year. So the Chiefs are in pretty good shape in part because of that trade. And, you know, I looked at the numbers that the Chiefs on defense, they played, I think, the 3rd most snaps on defense among rookies during the regular season. And I think fourth most overall, maybe a little lower than that, because they were only 27th on offense. But their defense is basically a bunch of young guys, and or a lot of them, and you know, that's remarkable to get done what they did with that much youth out there. I mean, for most of that game last night, they were playing three rookies at corner and survived against a great quarterback and a great set of receivers and a great team. So the Tyreek Hill trade is working out exactly as the Chiefs hoped it would.
You know, it hasn't always been great. I get it. But I'm officially done listening to anyone bitch about the Frank Clark trade. Because, I mean, this is the gravy on top of what he did during that Super Bowl run. Because I don't know what anyone thought. It was a big question mark. What were they going to get out of him this year? There was a chance he wasn't going to be with them this year. But, I mean, you can't deny what he does in the playoffs. And he did it again yesterday. And he means so much in that locker room. You could tell how the players feed off of him, and a lot of these young guys mentioned Frank Clark. And he's a leader. He's our guy. He gives us the emotion we need. How do you explain it? I mean, playoff Frank. He comes through in the postseason over and over again.
Yeah, and you know, I think he has vindicated the trade. You know, he hasn't always been great for the Chiefs. There have been times, and you know, last season most notably, where he wasn't much of a factor. But he's done it for him in the big moments, and that's what they traded for him. When you boil it down, that's why they traded for him. So you know, it's kind of interesting now. He and Chris Jones are kind of building a little bit of a legacy here. You know, Chris Jones had his first playoff sacks last night, but he's had some great games in the playoffs. I mean, that Super Bowl win over the 49ers, he played a whale of a game, didn't get any sacks, but he was still a huge presence for the Chiefs. And so those guys are building a pretty good legacy. Let's see what they get done against the Eagles. But they're going down maybe as one of the better 1-2 postseason pass rushers in NFL history, if they can get something done in 2 weeks. You know, I think they're getting into rare territory here.
You know, I'm glad you brought that part up of the legacy thing, Adam, because that was going to be my next question for you on the Chris Jones front. I last week I spent a lot of time saying that Chris Jones, this is it. This is the game. If you're going to be one of the best defensive players in the league, you got to step up because of all the things we talked about. And then you add on to it the injuries that happened that mean that it is that rookie class of defensive backs out there. They needed help from the pass rush. And I was thinking it was kind of appropriate with Neil Smith on the field lighting cigars afterwards. You think about all these real, there's a good rich tradition of defensive pass rushers in this franchise's history, going all the way back to the early days of the AFL, right? For Chris Jones to have this performance in an AFC championship game when the team absolutely needed it the most, where does that put him amongst that pantheon of great pass rushers in this franchise's history?
Well, I mean, he's just had the opportunity to do it on the big stage a lot. You know, he's played for these great teams in part because he's been great for those teams. And, you know, he's got a lot to do with that. And, you know, he's just had a lot of opportunity to do it. And he's been, you know, the numbers aside, he's been really good. And you know, without having seen Buck Buchanan and Bobby Bell and all those guys play, you know, I can't really say where he stacks up, but the bottom line is he's been able to get his team to where they wanted to go, and a lot of these other guys, again, not counting maybe those you know early those early Super Bowl Chiefs, the other great pass rushers the Chiefs have had haven't been able to help the Chiefs get where they wanted to go, and you have to. So to me, when you talk about legacy, that has to be a huge part of it. That Chris Jones is helping the Chiefs win championships. And some of the other great pass rushers that they've had, great players though they were. I used to love watching Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. But they could not get the Chiefs over the hump. Not their fault. Not their fault at all. But They couldn't help them do that. Whereas Chris Jones was making plays last night that helped put the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. There's a direct line there between the way he played and the fact they're moving on here.
Look, I don't know if I think most people feel like he didn't quite reach expectations when the Chiefs signed him as a free agent. But again, that signing looked pretty good yesterday with MVS, 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown when wide receivers were dropping left and right. What a time to have his best game as a Chief, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I tweeted that out last night after he scored the touchdown. Where would they have been without him? You know, with Tony out and Hardman out and Watson out, where would they have been without him? And Juju out, where would they have been without him last night? And, you know, the one thing you know about MBS that frustrates a lot of Chiefs fans, but they better learn to deal with it because that's what he is. He's not going to have games like this very often. I mean, this is going to be a once-in-a-while thing. He's going to have some games where he's really quiet. He's never going to be a high-volume guy. But he's going to have games like this that help you in big moments. He had a couple during the season that helped the Chiefs when they really needed it. And they certainly got one from him last night. So, you know, he's not the player everybody wants him to be necessarily in terms of consistent production, but that you shouldn't expect that from him is my point. You should expect to get these big games at big moments, and that's certainly what he delivered last night. And, you know, are they in the Super Bowl without him? You know, I don't think you can say that. That's another guy that you could probably throw in that group that without his big game, the Chiefs are watching the Bengals head off to Arizona here in a few days.
And how about this game in Arizona? The two number one seeds, the Andy Reid Bowl, two dynamic quarterbacks with wonderful offenses, two best teams at sacking the quarterback as far as just sack numbers. What more could you ask for a Super Bowl matchup on paper, Adam?
Yeah, there's sometimes you struggle for storylines even in a Super Bowl, you know. But we're not going to be struggling for Super Bowl lines, things to talk about. You know, you didn't even mention the two of the bigger personalities in the NFL and the Kelce brothers
right,
going up against each other. And, you know, it looked like Travis kind of got a little choked up about the thought about playing against his brother last night. Was that just me, or did he
get
a little bit choked up when he talked about playing against his brother in a Super Bowl? So
I agree.
You know, that tells you a little bit of what that means to him. So, you know, that's another storyline. So, yeah, it should be a great game. I haven't really broken it down in my mind yet. But, you know, I'm not expecting one side to get a significant advantage over the other. I think this should be, assuming the Chiefs are okay injury-wise at wide receiver and at quarterback, I think the Chiefs will be okay.
Usually I complain about waiting 2 weeks. Considering the Chiefs' injury problems and considering just my exhaustion, I need the 2 weeks. Thank you very much for the bye week. Let's get ready. And there's enough to fill the next 2 weeks on this radio show, and I'm sure for you at ESPN.com. Adam, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Good stuff, guys. We'll talk to you then.
That's Adam Teicher from ESPN. And that was a really cool moment. We're all kind of lined up because you can't go into the locker room yet. And, you know, you have to choose your own adventure. You're going to go in the interview room and wait for, you know, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, with those guys, or are you going to go in the locker room and take your crack at interviewing, you know, the 40 other guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're lined up waiting in the locker room, and here comes, you know, one by one, the players walking off the field through the tunnel with their AFC champion shirts, or if you're Frank Clark with a fat cigar smoking it, saying, "I'm smoking Burrowhead." And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I love it. And so then everyone's coming through here, right? And then here comes Dave Tobe with a big smile on his face and walks right over, and it's like, me, Teicher, Vahe Gregorian, just a group of us, and kind of looks at Teicher and goes, "How about that Sky Moore?" And not coming over like, "Hey, what did I tell you about that?" Like, the look, a giant smile on his face, like excited, like, "Hey, how about that Sky Moore?" Not condescending,
rubbing it in your face.
"Hey, how about, you know, I know, you know," but he was genuinely like, hey, how about that Sky Moore? Like, he was so, ooh.
You came close.
So freaking happy that Sky Moore just hit that 29-yard punt return. I thought that was cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
And then you think about these coaches as people, and you think how much crap Tobe has had to hear because his special teams were not special for most of the year. But he's kind of ran over there. Hey, how about that Sky Moore? Hey, yeah, that's right.
Well, hey, man,
son,
I mean,
of a gun.
Dave Tobe didn't forget how to coach special teams this year, right? Like, he didn't go from being a guy that was one of the best special teams coaches in NFL history to not knowing what he's doing. But they took a lot of the core players off of his special teams, and they replaced them with rookies. And we talked all season long about there are going to be growing pains for some of these young guys. And sometimes you can say it, but when you're living the growing pains, it's really hard. Because then you start thinking, well, can this guy really recover from some of these things that are happening? That I can't wait to hear it again. That interview you did with Sky Moore was tremendous.
We're going
to
play it again.
Tremendous.
Want to hear it again?
Yes.
You can't hear it again.
Because listening to him talk openly about, I didn't believe in myself. I lost confidence. I didn't want the ball. I thought I was going to fumble it.
It's called a tease.
And it's a testament to the culture that the organization has built there. The way they build each other up, the way that they continue to believe in one another, even when they fail. And that's why he's out there. His own teammates, who have been through similar situations in the past, told him, man, you're going to make a play. And that's, you got to think about the situations you live in your life. When somebody around you makes a mistake, do you pile on them and beat them up like that linebacker for the Bengals did? Or do you stand behind them and pump them up and say, man, you're good. You're gonna make up for this someday. I believe in you. And that's what the Chiefs do with their teammates. It's incredible.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo here, how disappointed he was when the 49ers were down multiple touchdowns. This picture. He looks distraught, doesn't
he? He's smiling right there, but we don't know what happened. Maybe somebody farted right next to him, and
there's like several pictures of him throughout the night smiling. We will take a break. We'll listen. We played some of this stuff in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll listen to Sky Moore and Harrison Butker and some other interviews I did after the game. After this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate referenced the Sky Moore interview that I did. Let's replay that. Play that in the 6 o'clock hour, but pretty good. Sky Moore with the 29-yard punt return that set up that final drive that led to the game-winning field goal. Here is my conversation with Sky Moore after the game.
How's it feel to be headed to the Super Bowl?
Feels great, man. I'm trying to. This is my first Super Bowl. Trying to hopefully get my first one under my belt, you know?
You know, it's been a long road with you as a punt returner. And then you're out there in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game, and you come through with a big punt return. What does that mean to you?
It meant everything, you know? Like, it was just, you know, like you said, I had a long road to get there, so. Not only just the return, but just catching that thing. Mm-hmm. So once I caught it, I know what I can do with the ball. It's just, you know, I got to catch it. And I focused on it, reeled it in, and made a little something happen.
That's a storybook ending, at least, to get to the Super Bowl. How difficult was it to regain your confidence and bounce back to where you could be in this position in this game tonight?
It was everything. That confidence. I learned by being back there, your confidence is everything. If you think you're going to drop it, you might drop it. So when I went back there, I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm about to catch this. This got to get caught. You know, I didn't drop three. So, you know, being confident is the number one thing, I think. And my teammates helped me. Dude right here, you know what I'm saying? He's telling me, you're going to catch it. You're going to make a play. And, you know what I'm saying? I there's power in words.
And what's that mean to you? So, you know, some coaches may not have given you that another chance that you had tonight.
Right.
For Dave Tobin, Andy Reid to believe in you and put you out there, what's that mean to you?
It means everything. You know, everybody believed in me. Yeah, I didn't believe in myself at one point. I didn't want to be back there, but they kept putting me back there. You know what I'm saying? They kept putting me back there, and it just got to the point where I was like, if he believe in me, why I don't believe in myself? You know what I'm saying? So we definitely had a roller coaster, bro, with the punt return situation.
But I mean, that blows my mind. How do you get over that when you say you didn't believe in it? You didn't want to be back there. How did you get over that hurdle?
I had to stop telling myself that. I didn't really mean it. You know what I'm saying? Just because I dropped a couple punts, I'm telling myself I don't want to be back there. I really do though. I want the ball. You know, anytime I can get the ball, I'm trying to make a play happen. So, you know, I just really, really had to buckle down and, you know, have that self-confidence.
How intense was that in the fourth quarter? That was a very physical football game. Seemed like that was two teams that didn't like each other with everything on the line. What was that like to be out there in the fourth quarter?
You know, just another chippy playoff game. Just, you know, just being able to go against another good football team. It's going to get like that. So you just got to buckle down and stick to your guns.
Were you watching the field goal attempt? George Karloftis said he couldn't watch, so he looked away.
I need to watch.
You got to watch.
I was watching. I stepped up on the bench. I need to see every. Right. I need to see his. I need to see his whole drop.
You need to see it all, then, right?
I need to see his whole drop.
Yeah,
everything.
Before it went through.
Facts.
So what went through your mind when that final second ticked off the clock and you, we're going?
It was just crazy, you know. You know, I'm looking at other people like McCole. He's thinking, like, his reaction is a little different than mine. I'm like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. He's on some, like, one more. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we got to get it. I've been to the Super Bowl. So it's not nothing new for this franchise. So it's one thing to go, but we got to go win it.
And the receivers got tested. I mean, Marcus Kemp was out there and made a play. I mean, there was a lot of injuries. You guys, the depth was tested. What does that say about your room?
It says that we're a deep room because we came out on top with that.
Congrats.
For sure. Thank you.
That was Sky Moore after the game. Back after this on WHB.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
All right, let's play two things here. Let me hear my Frank Clark again with James Palmer that I need to hear minimum four times on the show. This will be number three here. James Palmer asks Frank Clark one question, and playoff Frank takes it from there.
You just had a long embrace with your head coach. What did Andy Reid just say to you?
Man, we did it. We did it. You know what I mean? We had to come back out here. You know, last year this time, same team sent us home, man. You know, very disappointing season. I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrow head. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They going to take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs Kingdom and got their ass stumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I don't know what the bank. I told them all holler at me. I told them last year they ain't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game. Let's go.
Thank you. Now here is Harrison Butker, who made the game-winning 45-yard field goal. Here is Butker after the game.
How's it feel right now? You game-winning kick to go to the Super Bowl. It doesn't get much better than that, right?
No, it doesn't get much better than that. Definitely the biggest kick of my career, just such a blessing. You know, all glory to God that ball went through, and I tried to keep the faith and keep pushing. Obviously, it was a rough year. Had a lot of misses, but so thankful that we were able to make that kick to get us to the Super Bowl.
The conditions didn't seem great. So how far did you feel comfortable? Like, where were you good from, you think, tonight? Going in that direction?
55.
Yeah.
You know, in the warm-up, 55 was about my limit. I think it was windier than what the flags look like up there. wind was in the face, left to right, and then also when it's cold, you know, the ball's just super deflated and just doesn't travel that far.
So you mentioned some of your struggles. Now it seems like you're back in the rhythm. Like, what has gone right to get back in the groove?
Yeah, we've had a good couple of games now. That's a good question. I think I struggled a little bit at the beginning just trying to figure out how to kick now with this injury, right? Anytime you injure yourself, you have to kind of go back to square one and figure out how do I kick now. And I think it just took me longer than I would have liked. But now I feel like I'm in a rhythm and I'm hitting the ball well in practice, hitting the ball well in the games. And just took a little while.
As soon as you hit it, did you know? Was there any doubt when it left your foot?
I knew it had the accuracy. I didn't know if it had the distance. You know, it felt good. I'm like, oh, that's good. And then the ball just kept floating and floating. But yeah, it went over. So.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Nate Bucati.
I thought that kick was going to go through the uprights and hit the netting because he looked like he kicked it perfectly. And it just died. And there was a little split second where the refs kind of looked at each other before they signaled good. And I thought, that didn't fall short, did it? And then they finally put their hands up. Did you see the same thing, Marco? There was like a little, like a... They kind of looked at each other and hesitated before they put their arms in the air.
It definitely looked like it had more height than distance on it, and it kind of had a bend to it also, did it not? A slight curve, but I wasn't even watching the TV at that point. I was just listening to the radio call with my eyes closed. I wasn't – dude, I'm telling you right now, I wasn't paying attention. The Skymore punt return, the third down play from Mahomes, obviously, with the run, and then the Butker field goal. I couldn't fathom the look at the TV during those moments. I too was holding hands and looking away from Harrison Butker in that situation.
Let's hear Travis Kelce's message to the mayor of Cincinnati, who may have a tough time getting reelected.
This beautiful trophy. Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party.
The Iron Sheik tweeting out, he was very impressed. He tweeted out that clip and said, Travis Bubba, you impressed using my word jabroni, Bubba. Hashtag NFL playoffs. So the Iron Sheik was a fan of those comments from Travis Kelce.
Dude, Kelce, give him the mic. Just right. Give the man the microphone. He's the Ric Flair of the NFL. It's just nobody could have addressed that jackass mayor from Cincinnati better.
And listen.
Than him.
I can't tell you what to do. If you want to get all mad and everything, go ahead. I've had a few people tweet at me. Oh, they're on ESPN, and they're basically saying that the refs, that's why the Chiefs won. They're not giving the Chiefs credit. Listen, here's the great thing about sports and about results. It don't matter. The Chiefs won. It don't matter. They can say whatever they want. They can make all the excuses they want. They can cry all those big Cincinnati Bengals tears.
I don't care.
They can cry about never having won a championship. They can cry about the chili that they have to eat because they know it sucks. It's terrible. They can cry. And it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter what anyone says. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes on one good leg with Marcus Kemp, Sky Moore, and MBS as the receivers in the fourth quarter. Up against it, outplayed Joe Burrow. Outplayed everyone's darling. Oh, this guy. Oh, he wins this game. He's better than Mahomes. This guy smokes cigars. Look at this guy. This guy also throws two interceptions in the championship game. This guy also had the football in his hands at the end of the Super Bowl and the end of this AFC Championship game and failed. Now I want that kind of coverage. Let's talk about that. What's wrong with Joe Burrow? How come he can't close the show? I don't know. Go figure it out, Cincinnati. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you that. I don't. This quarterback has won a championship. This quarterback has won multiple MVPs. Has won a Super Bowl MVP. Patrick Mahomes now has gone to 3 Super Bowls. So I don't know what to tell you. Okay, but what I can tell you is all that trash talk came back to bite you in the ass. This Burrowhead and everything else, Eli Apple. You know, guess what? Now Eli Apple. Now you can go to Cancun. Cancun on 3. You can watch the Super Bowl from your own private cabana with all the tequila and taquitos and whatever you want at your disposal.
Yeah.
You can watch that Super Bowl and tweet to your heart's desire, but you ain't playing in it. Probably better for you because you blew the Super Bowl last time you played in Eli Apple, so there you go. It all worked out for everyone, really. Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT. He's the best quarterback in football. He's the MVP. Now we have a dream matchup. We don't always get these matchups.
Oh, man.
Is this the first battle of one seeds since the Patriots played the Eagles, I think? How'd that turn out? That was a slugfest, wasn't it? That was a memorable Super Bowl. You have two dynamic, outstanding quarterbacks and offenses. If they're all healthy, think of the weapons. Think of the defenses. Was I right? Did you those? Nobody had more sacks in year than the Chiefs or the Eagles, right? Eagles were one, Chiefs were two,
right? Yeah.
Think about the star power. Think about the storylines. The Andy Reid Bowl. He's won double-digit playoff games for both franchises. Think about the freaking Kelce's podcast. Kelce versus Kelce. I mean, on paper, you couldn't ask for more from a Super Bowl matchup, right?
I mean, I don't see how you could.
It is absolutely delicious. Well, I mean, fantastic. And we have plenty of time to talk about that, but that's my initial thought. Like, man, look, you couldn't ask for something better than that.
You know, and honestly, all credit to the Cincinnati Bengals for being a great opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because we were talking about leading up to, that's what makes yesterday's game so great. It's not that great if you're playing against a team that's not so great.
A hero's got to have a villain.
And the Bengals have provided themselves or presented themselves as a worthy villain, right? They knocked off the Chiefs 3 times in the AFC Championship game last year. They had that swagger. They didn't back down. They weren't intimidated of Arrowhead Stadium. And Patrick Mahomes, on a high ankle sprain with his entire wide receiver corps decimated by injury, went out and beat them. It's like every time you wonder what is left for this dude to accomplish. What odds could we stack? And it's like a David Blaine type thing or something, you know, like, okay, we're going to put him in a safe in a straight jacket and tie his arms behind his back and put him underwater. How's he gonna pull off this one? You know?
You did that?
I don't know. They do all that kind of stuff. I don't know my magicians that well.
Wasn't
that what Houdini used to do? He'd get a straight jacket in a safe filled with water?
That to me seems impossible, what you just described.
It seems impossible. But you
And dangerous.
And dangerous.
You know?
But there's Patrick Mahomes on a high ankle sprain at the end of the game, sprinting down the sideline, avoiding tacklers and getting a first down and getting a late hit penalty and doing all these things. So, and that's why, like, we're talking about the difference between good and great right now. You know, that's why for Chris Jones to do what he did yesterday puts him at a whole nother level,
right,
compared to some of the all-time great pass rushers that have been here on the biggest stage against a great team with double teams in front of him constantly when his team needed it the most. So I'm seeing some people say he had 8 pressures. Other people said he had 6. Whatever it was, he wrecked that game, right? He made Burrow's life miserable. These guys, like, they there's a legacy there. We'll always remember the Mahomes ankle game now, right? And the Chris Jones performance in this game. And the rookies all stepping up the way that they did. And guys that were much maligned in the special teams all year long. It was stepping up to help win the game.
The game of redemption.
Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. Back after this on WHB.